the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I love this episode.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good? Set to kill good?
We'll get there.
Ooh.
Wait till the end.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drop any hints about that.
But I like that you didn't outright say, no way.
I almost did. I'm not
gonna... Oh, no. Yeah. Spoiler, well, I really like this episode. I like it so much better than last week's.
Which was... Jog my memory here.
Loud as a Whisper.
Loud as a Whisper.
This is a lot better than Loud as a Whisper.
You know, I don't know. I kind of like Loud as a Whisper
way,
better.
No way, dude.
Yeah, Loud as a Whisper wasn't set to kill good, but...
Loud as a Whisper was leaving it in the holster bad. This episode was phenomenal.
I don't know. I like Loud as a Whisper.
Well, who's going to help us figure this out is our friend Skylar Weinberg. Welcome, Skylar.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Set to kill good, right? You don't even know what that means.
I have no... You guys, that was so inside. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Have you never listened to our show, dude?
I'm a big fan of you guys.
Oh.
I have not actually listened to the show.
What the hell, man?
I know. I'm an a-hole. I'm sorry.
You've never listened to the show. You're in Peaches and Hot Sauce, man.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Dude.
I try to. I try to listen to everything, but there's so much content in the world.
You're fired, dude.
In the world.
In the world. You can't fire me. Pat runs it.
Oh. Pat, fire this asshole, man.
Well, let me ask you this before I fire your ass.
Hell yeah.
How big of a Star Trek fan are you?
This was literally the first episode of Star Trek I've ever seen.
Wait, what?
I saw the Chris Pine movie, which I...
That doesn't count!
Oh, yeah. No, it does.
Like it, right?
No, I like it.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun.
The one
really,
from 2009? Really, it was awesome. We saw Star Trek Beyond a few weeks ago. It ruled.
It was cool?
Yeah, dude, it's great. It's a great summer movie. See it in the theater if it's still there.
I'll try to. Didn't Star Trek fans not like the first Chris Pine movie?
Well, here's why. And then we'll get out. We've talked about this before, but it's not truly Star Trek.
Yeah,
it's
but like, who cares?
The rules are different. The universe is a little different. Now they're calling it the Kelvin universe because there's a bunch of stuff that just didn't fit with the continuity of Star Trek in those movies. But I just recently rewatched the 2009 one.
It's a fun movie. It has nothing to do with Star Trek.
No.
And I didn't know that when I saw it in 2009.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like a fun sci-fi.
I was just like, it's a fun sci-fi movie, right?
Yeah.
And apparently a lot of people hated it. Now that I've watched more of it, I can kind of see because it's completely different. Right. But if you go into it understanding that it's completely different, it's a good movie.
Well, that's why Beyond didn't make me upset or anything like Star Trek did, because now I've accepted the fact that it's just a space movie. It's not really the same Star Trek that I grew to love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or know and love. Well, fun fact. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is going to be so fun, man.
Dude,
it's
so gonna
be
fun.
Fun.
This is a fun boy fact. All right. Speaking of inside, this is the only Next Generation episode where a multi-person landing party is not made up of a member who is 100% human. They're all aliens or androids in the landing party.
Oh, wow. I didn't even... Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Because Troy was there, and she's half Betazoid.
Yep.
Which one's that?
She was the lady with the curly black hair.
Oh, okay. With the accent.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. The Russian accent?
She's British, but
I don't know what accent
she has. She put on an accent for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's half Betazoid, so she can read emotions and thoughts.
Yeah, that's Troy's deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a Vulcan, an android, and Worf.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a fun fact. Thanks, Memory Alpha.
Yeah. So this is Patrick's log. This is where we talk about what was going on the week in the real world that this came out. And this episode aired January 23rd, 1989. So just a couple headlines. So remember last week we talked about Emperor Hirohito died in Japan?
Yeah.
So
after the Great Pearl Harbor movie.
Yes, that's what caused it to happen.
He watched that movie and died.
Right, yeah, the Michael Bay movie, which came out in 1989, as we all know. So President Bush has invited Japanese Prime Minister Noboru Takeshita to make an official working visit on Washington to demonstrate the importance of the relationship with Japan. I pulled that headline because I was hoping it was going to be the one where I barely remember this because I was so little, but like President Bush puked. Like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, when he was like eating with some important dinner with some Japanese dignitary, and he like threw up all over the place.
Yeah, he got sick.
I haven't heard that story at all.
But this was not that visit.
Next time, I
just pulled up. I was like, oh man, this is gonna be the one where
so you're just gonna keep going for Japanese visits.
Yeah. So every time I see President Bush meets with Japanese leader, I'm like, I'm gonna pull that headline because I'm 90% sure it's gonna be the one where he puked.
Weren't relations with Japan really tense at this time?
I don't know. I remember...
because I remember, like, Japanese cars being
that was a big
thing.
Yeah, like... Yeah,
but that's kind of like... that cycles through, I feel like. I feel like America's always like...
Yeah.
A couple years, we're like, yeah, we're cool with everybody's stuff coming here. And then we're all of a sudden like, no.
Well, like, I have a lot of extended family in the UAW. My parents are from Michigan. So, like, that has always kind of been a thing in my family. Yeah. But I remember kind of that being a big issue in the 80s and 90s. Like, before Chinese imports became a big thing, it was always like, Japanese are going to outrun us, man. They're doing so well. And then they had a massive recession in the 90s.
Right. Too many old people.
Yeah. Not enough immigrants. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what the problem is.
But, yeah, this is not the one where Bush puked.
Okay. Too bad.
Sorry.
We can all dream.
Yeah.
Did anything happen in this visit?
No, man. It was just he just had a normal visit. It was after Hirohito died.
Well, that's nice that it was like a nice visit. For
them. I guess so.
Probably helped relations a little bit.
And James Brown got sentenced to 6 years for a massive car chase.
Yeah, I remember that.
This is when that happened. Yeah.
Did you guys see the movie?
I didn't. I heard it was good.
I loved it. I thought it was really
good. I love James Brown. He was a very troubled man.
Yeah, that scene was crazy.
Yeah, this is when that happened.
And it was really fun, too, because they had, like, in the movie, he would do, like, it was real meta, so he would just talk to the camera and, like, give, like, a little wink, and then, like, keep driving. He's, like, high on so many drugs.
Oh, man, that sounds great. I got to see that.
He was high on television when he was talking about the chase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was pretty much high for most of his adult life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And young life, I think, too.
Yeah.
He was high a lot.
Yeah.
He had fun, though.
Right?
For parts of it.
For parts.
Parts,
yeah.
Parts are
this is the part where he was not having fun.
Yeah.
I didn't see it because it, you know, didn't stick to the continuity of the universe I'm used to, and I didn't want to get offended by this movie.
Yeah, it was wrong about the James Brown lore.
Yeah, they completely... So that's it. You got to understand, it's a different James Brown universe. Okay? Yeah. It's a Kelvin James Brown universe.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, should we get into the episode? Speaking of being high, let's get in the stars.
Schizoid Man. Which is a weird name for a Star Trek episode, I thought. They're normally like lines from a poem that nobody's read.
Right.
Like where silence had lease or something like that. This was just Schizoid Man.
Yeah. Aptly named,
I guess.
It got right to the point.
It let you know what was going on, but like, I gotta say right off the bat, man, that's not schizophrenia. That's multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, but I think in the 80s they called it the same
thing. They did call it that, but yeah. Schizophrenia is like auditory hallucinations and stuff.
Which kind of happened.
I guess, in a way. Yeah. So it starts off like there's a guy, Ira Graves. He's some doctor who's
not
like...
Not to be confused with Ira Glass.
Not Ira Glass. Ira Graves.
Well, they're pretty similar, right?
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I've heard Ira Glass is a real jerk in real life.
Is he really?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, well.
Ira Glass, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I'm very sorry.
Ira Glass, if you're listening, hey, hook us up with a contract.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just edited out the part where I said he's a huge jerk and I hate his voice because it sounds like a cardigan sweater talking.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he only hires people who sound like him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I can't listen to This American Life because of that.
All right.
He should have a show called Ira Glasshole.
Hell yeah, dude. But anyway, not that guy. It's Dr. Ira Graves. He's on this planet. He's on a remote planet. He's like some kind of...
Planet Money?
Right, yes.
I'm done.
He's some recluse, and there's a distress call coming from the planet. We know that he's working on some kind of cybernetic technology. He's been there for a long time, and that's pretty much all we know. And it's Dr. Pulaski, like, giving the captain's log or whatever. at the beginning. Then we see like this weird scene where Geordi is talking to Troy, and he's like, Data wanted us to come see him. I don't know what's going on. He's been acting weird lately. And they go into his room, and he's got a full beard.
I love this scene.
Yeah, he's just like...
It was so fun. But it was so heavy-handed for like what was going to happen in the episode.
Yeah.
Dude, like, everything...
Is it very heavy-handed?
Is very heavy-handed in this. That's fair. It's episodic TV, and it's just like... There wasn't much comic relief in this one, and no. I think this is like, this is where we're going to put the comic relief. Right here at the beginning.
I just love it because he's like, don't I look wise when I stroke it this way?
Yeah. Thusly.
Thusly, yeah. We're three men with beards in this room.
We are.
Three men with beards.
I guess hip, sure. I'll take that
by
as a compliment.
Today's standards, yeah, we're hip.
We're hip because
we're pretty
beards.
Cool, yeah. Right?
Neck beards are in style.
Hell yeah.
But don't you feel wise when you get to rub it?
I do. It does make me feel like anytime I'm thinking, I do this. Also, when I'm just sitting, I'll just like twirl my beard. And it really just, it helps me think a lot.
I just really don't like shaving, and I have a weak jawline. So that's pretty much it. So I just grew a beard because I can, and I look weird without it.
Yeah.
So.
I look okay without a beard.
Yeah. You do. You look like, I look like a 12-year-old with a receding hairline. So
I have that as well.
Yeah, so this stays. They do not have that reaction. They just think that he looks like an idiot, and they laugh at him and leave, which is kind of a mean thing to do. Like,
very mean
Data
thing
has
to do.
Feelings.
To a man that can't understand, and he's just like trying to be a human.
Yeah, and he asks them, he's just like, what's so funny? I thought this looked good. I thought I looked good. And Geordi's like, Data, you idiot. And...
This is kind of a meta scene because Riker, between season one and season two, grew a beard.
Yeah.
So I think it's Data trying to
be cool.
Like, well, Riker's cool. He's got a beard now.
That is so funny. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Is he going to start trying to sit in chairs weird? That's a thing Riker does.
Yeah, because he's got lower back pain.
Learn how to play the trombone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he does.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't want to spoil anything.
So back on the bridge, we get a... distress call, and it's from a woman. It's actually Graves' assistant, and she is very upset. Something's going on, but they can only find two different life forms on the planet, which is apparently called Graves' World. Like, they're the only people there.
Yeah, it's only two.
Yeah, so they've been there for, I don't know if they said how many years.
They do later in the episode say that her father was there with him, so they must have been two scientists living there together, and the reason she's so much younger is because she was
the daughter of the other scientist. Man.
Was that what it was? I thought she was like left there or something.
I don't know. It was confusing.
It was confusing. They've been there for a long time.
Also, sad desert again?
Yeah, it is a sad desert.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I think it might be the same planetary set again.
Really?
I don't know.
They used it in the last episode, too, where Silence has Lease. Yeah.
They use very similar set pieces.
Well, they got to save money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get a distress call, so they got to speed up and head there. But when they're on the way, they get another distress call from a colony ship, the USS Constantinople. There's a hull breach, and there's like 2,000 people on board. And Pulaski lets Picard know, it's like, oh, yeah, a hull breach, like, they can all get hypothermia. They can also die, get blown out into space. We got to do something about that.
I thought it was so weird that that happened, and then, well, I'll let you keep going, but that we didn't go to that ever?
No, that's a good point. They immediately solved this issue.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know what the point of that was.
Yeah.
It was just to distract the ship for 5 minutes.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be the B plot, and this is the main issue that I have with this episode. Sorry.
There's it's so no minor because we're over it.
But no, but there's no B plot. So
there is no B plot.
It's kind of boring.
No way. It's not boring. It starts slow post beard scene.
I actually very much enjoyed the whole plot. I actually really, really liked the episode, and it kind of makes me want to start watching some Star Trek.
Yes!
It already.
Oh, yeah!
It's not bad. It's like a good episode. Question. It's just, I know. I used to complain about the B plots because a lot of them weren't done well. I wanted to see this B plot.
It is weird. That
I wanted to see
this.
They
don't do anything. Yeah.
It was so obvious that they were setting up a B plot.
Right.
And then they just, you just follow them on the planet.
They immediately solved the issue. The only thing that they used it for was they had to tell Geordi, it's like, hey, man, we got to do a near warp. you know, we got to kind of shoot the needle here, and we are going to send an away team down in the middle of near warp, and we're going to do this. It's going to be really hard, but then they immediately solve the problem. Like, all the colonists are saved. Everyone only has minor injuries, and it's fine.
Yeah, so, and they sent the other doctor, too. So they made a whole big deal.
They made a big deal
about
we're going to send Pulaski. You. Yeah, and so she has to send her Vulcan assistant, Solara, I think, down on the away team.
Yeah, which would make you think that there's going to be some plot issue. Device, use something where like it doesn't handle it well, and she's like, come through.
I think Pulaski had the day off. So they couldn't have her shoot most of the episode.
Probably.
Because it doesn't make any sense. It's only a weird away team.
She opens up the episode. Pulaski's the first person we see.
Yeah.
Which is leading me to believe it's like, oh, she's going to be important in this episode.
And she's not in it.
Not at all.
Yeah. No, it's strange. But again, the away team is a very different away team than we've ever seen before.
Right.
So that was to make it a more eclectic away team?
Yeah. And I thought that was cool, now that you bring it up, that there's no humans.
Right.
No full humans in the away team. It's Troy, Data, Worf, and Solara, I think.
Yeah.
Who is the assistant to Dr. Pulaski. This is, I think, the only episode we'll see her, right?
Yeah, I think we saw her poking around in the background in a couple
of episodes. She is a Vulcan. Worf is Klingon, obviously. Data is an android, and Troy is half Betazoid. Mm-hmm. So, but when they're going down there, Geordi just mentions offhand, is like, oh, by the way, we're doing a transport near warp, so you may notice something weird. And Troy's like, wait, what? And then Riker's like, don't worry about it. And they just beam them down. Why did Geordi tell them that?
And then there was no mention. She was like, I thought it was in the wall. And then Worf said, you were.
Yeah.
And that was it. What does that mean?
Okay, so let's get into
Please explain this.
Teleportation technology.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'm... The internet's going to get mad at me because I'm sure I'm going to miss out major details. But the whole idea in Star Trek is that energy and matter are the same thing. There is no difference between energy and matter. That's what we've mastered as human beings. And that's why we can do replicators. That's why we can have a holodeck. That's why we can teleport.
Okay.
Because you can change matter into energy and then energy back into matter. So while you're moving at near warp speed, you're moving at the speed of energy, right? So to do this teleportation, it's very, very difficult because you need to be able to hit a moving target, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? As they were in their energy state, they were in the wall, starting to become the matter version of themselves, but they were still in the wall.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a cool thing to actually, see.
Right, I know.
Like, have them talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is CBS in 1989, so I don't know if they had the... They probably didn't have the budget to do that.
Yeah, but they wanted to explore.
They just kind of briefly explained, but if you've never seen it before,
You'd have no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. And I've seen a bunch of episodes up to this point, and I still didn't really know she was talking about.
It seems so ominous that something was definitely going to happen there too.
Well, yeah, that's
something
the other thing.
They started to form.
They had a 2-line set of dialogue. Where she's, I thought I was at the wall. Worf is like, you were. And she didn't ask a follow-up question.
No, and then we move on.
So we immediately move on to what I believe you could be right, that it looks like the sad desert.
It does.
Thing in the background.
Also, very important note, Data has no beard.
Yes. Data removed his beard.
I was going to ask, why didn't he keep his beard?
Because they made fun of him.
A little bit longer. He just immediately gives up on this dream of having a beard.
Yeah.
They made fun of him, I think.
He got teased.
I think he's really... Because at the beginning, Geordi mentioned he seems more self-conscious.
He does.
Yeah.
And that was probably a symptom of that. So, yeah, they go down to Graves World, which is this desert planet.
Graves World! Graves World! Excellent!
That's literally what it's called. One word. Graves World is the name of this planet because... Ira Graves is the only person there.
And he's very narcissistic.
Oh, man. He's a real jerk. So they show up.
A real Ira Glass.
Yeah.
He's a real glass hole.
So Corrine, who is the woman that gave the distress call, she is the assistant here. She shows up and she seems to be acting kind of weird. And is like, oh, I'm so glad you came here. And they're like, hey, you know, we tried to get you. We tried to contact you again, but we couldn't. And she was like, yeah, I didn't want him finding out that I sent a distress call. So Graves does not know that there is a distress call being sent. He apparently is in deteriorating health.
Yeah.
It's affecting not only his body, but also his mind. He shows up, and he's this kind of grizzled old guy, and...
He is well-respected in the science community.
Yes, he's a genius.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm as strong as an ox. I'm fine. And, you know...
It's a very specific ox.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a Regellian ox.
Yeah.
So he, which apparently, I guess, is strong.
Apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even know where Regalia is.
Very healthy ox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He insists that he's fine, is the point.
Yes.
And Karina is just like, no, you're irritable and you're not feeling well. And he's like, shut up. Women. And then he immediately starts hitting on all the women there.
Oh, yeah.
He did say women aren't people.
Yes, he specifically said that.
That's a line in the show.
Yeah. I think Troy was just like, you said you don't like people, but, you know, you appear to be into women. And he's like, well, yeah, they're not people. I hate doctors, too. And the whole time,
wait, hold on. The line is, women aren't people. There are women, and then he kisses her hand.
Which is
I'm not saying it's better. That's
still, no, it isn't. It isn't.
I'm not.
That's exactly what he said.
But he wasn't. He just didn't blatantly say women aren't people.
Fair. That's fair.
He said
that's fair.
He was trying to pick her up in a sexist, horrible, dirty old man way.
Still very chauvinistic and.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's got no respect for women.
Not cool. If I saw him in a bar, I would say not cool, man. And I'd probably walk away because that would be the end of that interaction.
Yeah, man. You don't want to mess with that guy. He's strong as a Regellian ox.
Yeah,
he also hates doctors. And the whole time, Dr. Solar, the Vulcan, is trying to like sneak up on him and do... She has some kind of diagnosis thing. Wave this wand over him to figure out what's wrong with him. And eventually she does. And she's like, hey, you've got Darnay's disease, which I don't know what that is. I don't think it's a real thing. He's going to die. And she gives this in a completely like flat affect because
it's in its final stage. It's too late to do anything.
Yep.
You're dead. You're as good as dead. He something with his lungs. It's respiratory.
Yeah. But it also affects his mind too, I think.
It's like no, you're
everything.
Right.
Everything's gone.
Yeah.
It's basically what it does.
Gotta love those made up diseases.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
well, you're screwed.
Yeah. So we see Graves and Data and they're like in his office and he's whistling If I Only Had a Heart from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And Data's like asking him about, it's like, what is that tune? And he explains to him like the thing about Wizard of Oz, like, yeah, the Tin Man wants a heart, but at the end he figures out that he's been human all along and he doesn't need a heart because he's already got one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Heavy-handed?
Seems a little, like a little metaphor for what's going on in the show. So they start talking about like, pain and pleasure and all this stuff, and Data's like, I don't understand. Isn't pain bad? You know,
oh,
and
he's
like,
it is a weird interaction.
Graves is like talking very sexually at Data. Well,
yes, absolutely. But isn't that what makes us the most human? Are the things he's talking about?
Yeah. Horniness?
Sure.
Yeah, but
think about it. Isn't
this guy is like constantly horny though?
He's
like terminally horny.
Yeah, and the way that he was like, our desires. Yeah. Just like, okay, dude. Just
dial it back.
He's a robot. You don't have to do that much emotion.
Right. I think he could probably pick up.
He's an android, first of all. Different than a robot.
Sorry, I apologize.
You should.
Yeah, that's very offensive, scholar.
I'm gonna get lots of tunes, yeah. I guess.
But I also think it matters a lot later in the episode what he's saying here, because we need this time to establish him as a character.
Yeah, they got to play up what his character is like, because we definitely see him bring this out onto other people later.
Yeah,
for sure.
But the other piece of information that we get is that Graves knew Dr. Noonan Song, who made Data.
Yeah.
And Graves basically gave Song all of the information that he needed to build Data. So he's like, that kind of makes me like your grandfather.
And he makes him call him grandpa.
He makes him call him grandpa. And it's so funny. Here he did. It's like, grandpa, what is that tune you are whistling?
I just love that Data just goes, okay, fine.
Yeah,
your grandpa.
Yeah. Doesn't question
it. He just kind of does whatever anyone tells him to.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to human interaction.
Right. So, yeah, those are the things that we learned. But then Graves is like, yeah, you know what? I don't think I'm actually going to die because I'm going to put all of my information into this computer. And in that way, I'll kind of live forever. Hey, Data, by the way, do you have an off switch?
Yeah. Bam.
Data just like tells him. Yeah.
Then he said, said, don't tell me where. I want to find it.
Yeah.
Which is the creepiest part of the whole scene.
Right.
Like, I understood why. I mean, why couldn't he just have him tell him? And they'd be like, cool, great, thanks. And yeah. just do it.
But he wanted to feel him up a bit.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what I
get. Well, and the funny thing is, this is kind of a problem with continuity, is only one other person knows where his off switch is, and that's Beverly Crusher.
Right.
And he asked Beverly Crusher in season one to keep that information.
It's like on
private.
His neck or something, right?
Yeah, we know it too, I guess, as the audience. But he asked, like, please don't tell anybody that this exists.
Well, I mean, Song would definitely know where it is, right?
Right.
And Graves has some, like, he's a cybernetics professor, basically. And
so he'd be able to guess. I mean, it's not in that well hidden of a spot.
Right. I mean, he knew Song personally, too. So he probably knows, like, yeah, right. He was into necks. I figure he put it there. Like, I don't know.
All right, that's fair. But they hinted, like, Data was about to tell him. And Data wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't have, because he's been asking people. He doesn't want that information known. Like, why would you? If you had a button that made you dead, you wouldn't be telling people where it is.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we pretty much get that. It's like, oh, yeah, Graves is going to put his brain into this guy. While they're having that conversation, in the rest of it, Corinne is saying that Graves was, like, attracted to her, but. And she kind of was to him, but the age difference was weird.
Yeah.
So
they're the only two living
They're the only two people
on
the planet. At first, this kind of creeped me out, but then I thought it was just like, well, they've been there for years, and they're the only two people on the planet.
Yeah.
So.
But he was still too old for her.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
He's also a creep.
He's also a huge creep.
That might have been more of what it was.
Right. He's
might
a
have
huge.
Just said, you're too old. Also, you're a big old weirdo.
You also said that women aren't people.
Yeah.
So.
Several times.
They're just women.
So.
He didn't say just. He said are women.
You're right. I put just.
I don't know why I'm defending him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted it in context.
You're defending him, but also, like, against what he did.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. It's horrible. But, you know.
Well, he's from a different time.
Different
you know,
time?
300 years in the future.
In a utopia. Where
in a
women
utopia
are
where you're not supposed to have these creepy-ass opinions. While they're having this conversation, Data comes in, and he already looks different. And he's like,
Brent Spiner is the shit,
yeah,
man.
He's great.
His physical way of portraying character is
amazing.
So
he's like, yeah, Dr. Graves died in my arms. And, you know, we already know. It's like, oh, yeah, he put his brain in this guy.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Like, we know immediately what happened. And when they go back onto the Enterprise, Data is still super weird. He's really informal. He talks a lot more and a lot quickly, more quickly than he normally does.
And he acts like he knows things. Like, that's what's so cool about Data as a character, is Data's constantly questioning humanity, right?
Yeah.
He's always asking, like, why would you do this? What is this? And it provides that sounding board, where in this episode, he's the exact opposite. He's kind of telling people how it is.
Yeah. Like, one of the things that he does is he finds Corinne in Ten Forward, and he sees her staring at the stars. He's like, oh, yeah, you always love the stars. He just met this person. And he's, like, talking about how much Graves loved her and thought she was beautiful, and he, like, tries to touch her. And she's kind of weirded out by this, because in her mind, she's like, yeah, well, obviously this is Data.
Yeah, we just met.
That android I just met. That's a weird thing for him to do, right? And then they go to the transporter room, which is, I guess, where they do burial at space. they've got Graves in a coffin, and he looks like Lenin's tomb, basically. Yeah. It's just like
that weird gray thing that he was wearing was amazing.
He was like in a chainmail suit.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, God, it was great. And I think one thing that I noticed, so the little coffin pod that he's in, it looks exactly the same shape as the set piece that they used for the torpedoes.
It's got to be the same
thing. I think that it is.
It looks so similar.
Yeah.
They just cut a little window.
A little window for so you can see his face.
And his chainmail.
Yeah. Right. And his, like, Lenin's tomb get up. Yeah. And they're going to send him out into space. But before, they do a eulogy. And Data gives it, I guess, because this is his grandpa, technically.
I love this scene. I don't know. This is, like, amazing Star Trek going on.
He's,
right,
like,
now.
Saying,
it's
like, fun. To know him was to love him. But to love him was to know him. Everyone who knew him loved him.
Everyone who did not know him
loved him from afar. From afar. It's like, this guy rules. He's so great.
Oh, and everybody's like, what is happening?
Yeah. The one guy who does the like the arm fold was probably my favorite part of the scene.
I think that was Riker.
Yeah, it's Riker.
Yeah, it was Riker, where he's just like does the head shake, like, what is happening here?
Yeah. That sounds like him.
And then Picard even interrupts him. He's like, you're done.
That's enough.
Yeah.
We don't know this guy.
And Dana was like, I have just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just kept going.
But it is Graves delivering his own eulogy.
Right.
Like, watching this is like some Tom Sawyer shit. Like,
it was great.
Yeah. This part was pretty great because, like, you just get an insight into not only how creepy, but just how obsessed with himself this Graves guy is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know that he is a brilliant scientist, but also he is just out of his goddamn mind.
Right.
I've had to deliver a eulogy before. It's not a fun thing to do. It is extremely difficult. And I'd imagine it'd be really weird for most people to have to do that to yourself. Yeah.
But he like clearly didn't care about his body.
No, not at all. He was watching his own body being shot out into space and was not affected by it in any way.
Yeah, at all.
Because he cheated death.
Yeah, his brain was still alive. And that,
right, that's all he gives a shit about.
All he cared about.
Yeah.
And now, here's an interesting thought, question, perhaps. Is it Graves? Is this mind in Data? Did Graves take over Data, or is this a copy of Graves that is now living within Data?
Well, that's the same question that I ask about like every time people get transported, right?
Right. Well, right, because your matter, you're a different form of matter at that point. Are you a different body? Are you a different person?
Oh, so, that's interesting.
Right, yeah. It's interesting because there's like alternate dimensions and stuff that start to occur with all this transporting that's going on. But anyway, that's the thing I really like about this episode at a higher level is this a computer program that acts like the man, or is it the man himself that is within Data?
The way that they played it was that it was Graves.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just a computer program, because he says later in the episode, I was surprised about how much I could feel and love and all that stuff. So he's still,
but that's
like
a computer program feeling that way. Because later, they remove the human element from the computer program. Not a big spoiler alert. It's not really Graves. Graves is dead. Graves did not cheat death. Graves wrote a program that acts just like him and put it within an android.
You know, it's another deep philosophical question. Is our consciousness ourselves? You know, I believe this was also asked in the famous show, My Mother the Car. Was the mother the car? Or was the car still the car? And the mother, just a copy of the mother, put into the car spiritually.
It reminds me of, are you my mother? Children's mother. No. I don't know. I think it's a really
question. It's like, I think it's a common sci-fi trope of like, and it comes from the idea of like, do you want to live forever, basically? And how would you solve that in sci-fi where like religion is not really an issue? Mm-hmm. And in this, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, put my consciousness in a thing that lives forever. In this case, it's a robot. But I think they get into the problems with that later on. It's like, A, do you want to live forever? And B, this robot body does crazy shit that you're not able to control, too.
And he didn't live forever. He died.
Yeah. Well, they talk about that. He's like, pain and pleasure and also, like, the terminal aspect of life is part of being human.
Yeah.
You're not really fully human unless you experience that. And that's why Data's not human. He's a life form. He's a sentient life form, but it is different from being human because his body operates differently and he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Like that. I'm sorry, that's a big part of being human is you will die.
The interesting thing is that at the beginning it seemed like Dr. Graves like was kind of excited by death and all that, and then immediately turns into, I never want to die.
Right, yeah.
Which was kind of weird, but
yeah, I agree.
He turned his back on death.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, how much of this was he just got, like, was so into the idea of cheating death, or how much of it was, like, does he actually want to live forever?
Yeah.
Or does he just want to see if he can cheat death?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
It didn't even seem like he just wanted to cheat death. It seemed more like he just wanted to get with Corinne.
Yeah.
Is that her name? That it was all just to be able to.
Yeah,
like,
I think that was part of it
her.
Too. And he changed his mind after, you know, he realized that he couldn't. So Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Picard has this discussion with Data after he witnesses this eulogy. He's like, dude, you don't have to try so hard to be human. Yeah. This is really weird.
You're just starting to lose it, dude.
Right. He just tells him, like, hey, just be yourself. And as soon as he leaves the ready room, he's like, because he has the brain of an elderly pervert downloaded into him. It's like watching these women go by and like, oh, sexy ladies, and it's like he starts whistling the Wizard of Oz tune, and it's just like, yeah, he's a gross old man now.
That's another interesting thought. It's his mind that he put into Data, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But does that include your libido? Like,
apparently.
Right. But that's what I was saying earlier. So like the way that they were playing it, yes, it's just a computer program, but like he was shocked that he could still have the feelings, love, and the sex drive and like all that stuff. So like,
yeah.
The way in this world that it was portrayed was that he put his whole being into, somehow he made a computer program that had a human element, which is, I guess, kind of what Data has a little bit, but like way more human than Data has.
Right, it's almost the exact opposite of what Data has.
Yeah,
in a sense, because Data has the physical
capability, but not really the emotional desire.
Can't handle. He has no lust. Lust isn't a thing Data ever has.
Right.
But this computer program that is modeled off of a man, that's what I think it is.
Yeah. The guy that has a brain disease from jacking off too much is pretty much, yes, that is all that he wants to do.
And he's mastered, but that's the exact opposite of what Data's creator was able to make.
Right. Yeah. So, but now this is they get into it later when they're like, the stronger ego is taking over the weaker ego.
Yeah.
Like, this guy really wants to be alive, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this later, like, in the next scene, like, Data is at the bridge and he's just like berating Wesley Crusher because Wesley's like, that was such a cool eulogy. I don't know, you know, how to write because I'm 15. to know him, just to love him, that's great. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm so smart. And he like starts belittling him for being young. He's like, when you'll understand this when you're older. And he just kind of gives away that he's a much older man inside of it. But
you're as old as you feel, he says.
Right.
Because technically he's only a year or two older
than
Wesley.
He's only like a 16-year-old android or something. Right. And then everyone else starts to notice that, like, hey, Data, you're acting super weird. Are you a philosopher now? He's like, I am many things. Data's not arrogant.
No.
He just states facts.
Well, at this point, the whole crew should be like, what is going on with
everyone
you?
In that scene was kind of like, that's weird. And
classic,
like,
Data.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not. It's so different.
And then
he's even smiling.
He starts like lashing out at Captain Picard because he's giving Corrine a tour of the bridge.
Yeah.
And he's like, she doesn't like older men. Trust me.
Yeah.
And Troy, of course, noticed, I sense intense jealousy coming.
Thanks, Troy. We know.
Right. I appreciate you telling us what everyone just witnessed.
Yeah.
So back then, we go back to the ready room. Picard, you know, calls Data in. Hey, Data, clearly something is wrong with you. Data says he's as strong as a Rigellian ox.
What?
Crazy.
So they could bring that back. They couldn't bring any of the shit from the beginning back.
Right. Yeah. And Picard's like, okay, well, let's do a self-diagnostic, you know, run through your program, see if there's anything wrong with you. Of course, Data says, oh, I'm fine.
All he's got to do is close his eyes. I'm good.
Yeah. And Picard's
almost got one past him.
Yeah, he's and so Picard's, close. He's just like, you know what? For the first time in my life, I think you're lying to me.
How great was this moment, by the way?
Yeah.
Picard and Data in this whole episode. I mean,
is Data even capable of lying?
No.
I don't think he would be.
No.
Yeah.
He wouldn't understand why.
Right.
He doesn't even understand when to shut up because it's impolite. Much less lie to try to get his way.
So, yeah, they really got to figure out what's wrong with him. They take him to Geordi, who is an engineering genius, but also Data's best friend. And, you know, they run all these things. And, like, physically, he is fine. And Troy's like, you know what? This might be a mental health problem, which is a weird thing to say about an android.
Right.
So they run him through, like, this psychological test that apparently everyone gets when they join the academy. And he's shown all these images from, like, stuff. A lot of that stuff was from previous episodes, Skylar. Mm. Like, I don't know.
He's not being shown those images. They're being projected from his brain.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the opposite.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it's a mix of stuff that we've seen from previous episodes, but it's also images that Graves has seen.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is Corrine.
Right.
And himself.
And himself. Yeah.
That's true.
It's kind of weird that he would see himself, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Well, one was
well, he is a pretty
body,
big narcissist.
Guess, but other parts, yeah, were just him.
Him
yeah.
standing there. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. It's not like he was in a mirror.
Yeah.
Anytime he saw himself, it would have had to have been from a mirror's perspective.
That's true.
But he also saw Data a couple times.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's weird.
Anyway, what we get from this, Troy tells everyone else, is like, this is the part where she says, you know, there's a stronger ego within him and it is overtaking the weaker ego, which is Data. And if this isn't stopped, the Data that we know will cease to exist.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah. Picard is like trying to figure out what's going on. Data has escaped his quarters somehow.
He just got up and left.
Yeah, like they told him to remain, which like normally Data follows orders. I don't know why they thought that he would this time because he has another.
It's not him.
Yeah, they know it's not him. And of course he left.
Starfleet security is awful.
Yes.
That is something that is well established is that.
Oh my God, yes.
Security is awful.
Yeah, and I think Skylar, you were asking us this, like, how would they even control Data?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is, I don't know how they would.
What do you mean by control?
Well, like physically control. Well,
yeah, oh, they can't.
He's like, yeah, he's not, he's metal, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they can turn him off.
Right.
They can dislocate some of his
body
parts.
But they don't know
where
the switch
is. They can dislocate his body parts.
Yeah, his arms and legs and stuff come off.
What?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
he's like C-3PO.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
I know, but one of my favorite moments from one of my least favorite Star Trek movies is Data jumping through space from one spacecraft to another. It's fucking awesome. The movie's horrible. But
which one is this?
Nemesis.
Oh,
not
I heard
a good
that
movie.
Bad.
But he does this like nosedive through space. That's how powerful this android is.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess he doesn't need to breathe. That's true.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anything.
It was kind of gimmicky.
Yeah.
And by that point, we're in like 98, 99. So we had some CGI going on.
So, if Data ever like freaked out.
And just started like, smashing shit.
Yeah, it was just like.
They're screwed. They don't know where his off switch is.
Yeah, he like figures out that people suck. And it's just like, this doesn't need to happen anymore.
He gets some kind of virus in his brain.
They have nothing. They can't stop him.
Well, Worf might be able to. Worf is a Klingon who is very, very strong and a very good hand-to-hand warrior.
Yeah.
But they didn't have Worf guarding the door. They
no, well, not right now. I'm just saying...
In general.
They didn't even lock it.
In general, if you had a Data-Worf showdown...
Who would win?
Yeah, it would be interesting. But you also have phasers and stuff. I'm sure you could overload them with energy.
Yeah.
Keep knocking them back. Oh, and they have containment fields.
Right.
This is what I would do.
So, yeah, they didn't do that, though.
No, they didn't do any of that. But you could they have containment fields within the hallways of the Enterprise to contain things. You just trap them in a hallway as he raged out.
Mm. Well, that's not what happened. he just left his quarters, and Picard's like, where's Data? It turns out he's in 10 forward, the bar. And they order Worf and a security team and stuff. And they're like, all right, we need people in Data's room. We also need, like, they are going to try to arrest him, basically. While he's there, Data goes up to Corrine and he lets her know what happened. He's like, hey, I'm Graves. I put my brain in this robot. Be a robot with me or an android with me. We can live forever. And she is freaked the hell out.
Yeah, he said we can watch the end of the world together.
Yeah, the end of time. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't even want to live to be 90, much less like, you know, millions of years old.
I don't want to put a number on it, but yeah, end of time doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's Jesus. It's everything that he is telling her is horrifying, and he doesn't even know if she loves him back.
You know, if me and my loved one could live to be 1,000, though, I don't know, I might do that. I wouldn't mind traveling space.
I mean, that would be cool, 1,000. But like,
yeah.
If I could be 1,000 and like be super healthy and, and like all of that.
And I'm assuming my physical form breaking down at some point. Or me just getting tired.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, I get tired all the time and I'm not close to 1,000.
So, yeah, this is the deal that he is making with Corrine, and she is understandably overwhelmed and does not want this to happen. And she lets him know that. And he, like, grabs her hand, and she's like, hey, you're hurting me. I don't want to do this. Data / Graves is very upset.
And upset that he accidentally hurt her.
Yes.
Like, you can see that on his face.
And he flees. Then we find Graves is, or Data is in engineering. He's like hanging out by the warp core. This part almost put me to sleep just because the ambient noise of the warp core. It's very soothing. He hears Picard sneaking up on him. He says, you know, I have sharper ears than the average dog, Captain.
Do they have dogs in
Star- Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We haven't seen many.
Not many.
Which is a shame.
But they, it is a shame.
But they come, they're there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't say like a Romulan dog or something. Why? Just a generic Earth dog?
Yeah.
He was going to say Regellian ox, but he figured he said that probably too many much.
Anybody could hear those.
Yeah, Regellian. Yeah. I'm just saying, are Earth dogs the dogs with the best hearing? There's got to be an alien species.
Well,
yeah,
I think they were trying to show that he talks like this old guy.
Yeah, okay.
But he still is not using contractions.
No.
We noticed that. He's saying, like, I cannot, and...
So Data can't use contractions.
Yeah.
At all?
Nope.
He doesn't understand them.
Oh, weird.
He's not programmed to be able to shorten words. And so this is a way that there, anytime, like, he has a twin in one of the earlier episodes, and they're able to figure out it's not him because he's saying, like, can't and stuff. Yeah. So
usually it's a quick way to figure out if something's wrong with Data.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's still not using contractions at this point. Everything else about him though is Graves. So Picard sneaks up on him, and then we see Geordi on the ground.
Yeah, Data's best friend.
Data has like knocked him out.
Yeah.
And Picard asks, he's like, "What happened here?"
Not my fault.
And he's like, "It's not my fault. He told me I shouldn't be here." And then he, like, I guess tried to push him or something, but Data's super strong. Graves doesn't understand this, and he injured Geordi and knocked him out. And then Picard's like, "Yeah, well, you also broke Kareen's hand in two places. So, you know, great job, dude." How many accidents? He's like, "It was an accident." He's like, "Okay, well, how many accidents are going to happen?"
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah,
you know,
making him feel like a real a-hole.
Right. And then he, like, he tries to push Picard away, and he knocks him out, and this is, like, terrible stunt acting.
That was real rough. Oh,
yeah, that, like, Skylar just laughed out loud when it happened.
I LOL'd for sure. Because he just barely... He doesn't even touch him. It's obvious that he doesn't really touch him. And then Picard just, like, almost goes to the wall, doesn't touch the wall either.
No.
And just, like, falls backward like an old lady fainting.
Right.
I think it was because it was really Picard. It wasn't a stunt actor.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was just Picard, like, boops.
Yeah. So.
I thought he could do it, but
no,
I guess
he didn't pull. This is the one acting feat he did not pull.
Yeah, because he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Not a great stunt actor, clearly.
So Data Graves is upset by this. He flees. And then we find, I guess people had revived. By this point, the Picard and Geordi and some other people, they find Data in his ready room, laying on the ground face up, asleep, apparently. He wakes up, and he's like, "Why am I in this like undignified position?" And he asks Geordi all these questions, but he always like prefaces it with, like, "May I ask a question?"
That part was funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Data, you already did.
And Picard's like, "This is definitely Data. Yeah, he's annoying as hell. That's him.
May I ask a question after this question?"
Right. Yeah, he's back to his old self.
Yeah.
Kareen then looks down at these monitors in Data's room, and they're going crazy, but it's all this information that was in Graves' mind has just been uploaded into the computer.
Minus the human element.
Right.
Yeah, specifically.
So it's just pure information. He downloaded himself into the cloud.
He did.
Basically.
Just like all of us.
The Google cloud.
Yeah. Data has no memory of what happened, though. And he's like, back at the bridge. He's just like, "I hope I didn't embarrass myself." And then Riker's like, "Oh, do you remember wrestling a Targ?" Which I don't know what that is. It's some Klingon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "No. Did I win?"
Credits.
Yeah.
Classic ending.
Ah, it's
did
so
we,
good.
We didn't mention that when he's doing the tour at the beginning for Kareen, he says, "Hey, I want to show you our science station."
Oh, yeah.
This little section that we use for science.
Yeah. Well, it's the research part of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
I think they called it science station in the original series, and that has kind of stuck around.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Skylar. This is a part of Pat Trek where we like to rate the episode.
Ooh.
If we thought it was amazing, a great Star Trek episode, a must watch, we set it to kill. If we thought it was okay, it comes up in the queue, you know, go give it a watch, we set to stun. And if we thought it was terrible, avoid at all costs, no reason to ever watch it, we leave it in the holster. We'll go with Patrick first and then Skylar, and then, of course, me.
I'm going to say it's set to stun. I liked it, but I'm starting to realize why they have the B plots now. Yeah. And I kind of felt teased at the beginning with the colony ship thing. That sounded like a cool action-packed thing that I would want to see, in addition to, like, you know, all the deep philosophical stuff that happened with the main plot line. We didn't really get that. And I was a little disappointed by that. But that said, this was a good episode. Raised a lot of neat questions. There were some funny moments involved. Got to see the really excellent acting chops of Brent Spiner. But it wasn't quite set to kill for me. Mm. So I'm sorry, I got to go with set to stun.
All right, Skylar, what did you think?
I would also go set to stun. For similar reasons, the writing of it, there was a lot of things where I was like, I was more interested in other parts of it, like what happened on that ship, and then like little moments like we were talking about with the when they got transported and the wall thing. Like they just like brushed over so many different things, and then I don't know, but it was very enjoyable for my first episode of Star Trek. I was very pleased, and I really liked that there was a lot of actual funny moments, and a few where it's just like cheesy watching an old show type moments, which I thought was all I would really like about it. But I actually like thoroughly enjoyed the characters and the story, and like Data was really funny. I was really impressed.
And that's where you nailed it, Skylar. Star Trek is about the characters. It really is. And in this episode, Brent Spiner portraying Data is phenomenal. And that's why it's a set-to-kill episode! Come on,
dude! You don't have to do that, Skylar. Don't encourage him.
No, come on! Do it with me!
Folks, we're making finger guns and making noises.
It's set-to-kill because it's so good! That's all I gotta say! It's great!
It was a good episode.
The acting, what's his name?
Brent Spiner. Brent Spiner. Yeah. As Data?
Yeah, him, like, there was a complete change in character.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
He's a great physical actor.
And even with the scene at the beginning with the beard, like, it was just so well set up for Data to be Data in this episode, or us to learn more about him by him having to change his character around and seeing, like, how unhuman-like Data actually is when you see him acting like a human, which I thought was so interesting. Yeah. And then, of course, whenever you put Brent Spiner across from Patrick Stewart, they had some real tense, great scenes in this. And those are like some of my favorite moments of Star Trek.
For sure. In my limited knowledge and like of seeing Data, I was able to like see the immense transition into the human and everything like that. So yeah, I was very, very impressed. I also really enjoyed the almost foray into mental health that they got into.
Right. Yeah.
Which would have been cool. I kind of was like, I mean, if it was written today, I think that would have been more.
That would have been the focus.
But that was kind of cool. I kind of wish that it wasn't just that one was another one that they brushed over, where it was just like, we put the things on his head and we transmit the images that are coming out of it. And now we know that he's got a crazy person inside of him.
Yeah. Right.
I would have liked to have seen more of like a diagnosis and like a moment of realization.
Oh, man, you never see like a diagnosis here. They just like hit a button and people are fine.
Yeah, science, it's something I ranted about in the first several
episodes.
They
go to science station.
Well, right, they go to science station and everything's fine.
Yeah, and they have these tools.
Or it's not, and they're dead for some reason.
Yeah, and the tools aren't consistent and make no sense. Sometimes someone's dying and they're just using the fix-it button. Sometimes someone's dying and they're trying to shock their brain back to life, and you're like, well, why didn't you try the fix-it button this time? The fix-it button worked fine last time.
It fixes it. That's what it
does. Yeah, and then why are you shocking her brain?
All right, look, I didn't go to 7 years of fix-it button school to be lectured at.
But I don't know,
today,
man.
Today we're going to learn how to change the batteries.
You know what makes me so happy is we're getting to the point where the characters are deep enough where we can have some really great stories behind them. Where even like with Skylar, if you haven't seen a bunch of episodes, but the backstory of Data is starting to get rich enough where once things are happening, the writers as well as us as watchers can kind of see that depth come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like little Easter eggs in there of this. I don't think this was this episode, but they have Easter eggs of like past facts and things that happened. It's a richer tapestry for us to work with, and that makes me really excited for the future. And that's why I'm giving a lot of Set to Kills recently.
God, great inflation, man.
It's not because
gotta
I
worry
did
about great inflation.
Last week I left it in the holster. I go big or I go home. That's what I do. Either watch it or ignore it. All right. Well, Skylar, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Is this where I can plug?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we encourage
you? Oh, we encourage plugging. One thing. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Oh,
this
of course.
Was really fun.
Our pleasure.
I think I'm going to watch some Star Trek in my life.
Yeah!
So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
You don't necessarily have to watch a lot of season one. Just FYI.
Start with season two, then.
Yeah, just listen to our show.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you guys, get the rundown, and figure that out.
Well, I'll point you to a couple really great episodes to check out. It's one of these things where
there's like two.
Yeah, in season one. Yeah, season one's really, really rough. There's no budget. The writing's really, it's not very good. But it's one of those things that as more episodes happen, it gets better and better and better. And by the time you're in like 3, 4, 5, those seasons, it's like at, I would say, the peak of the show. But there's
that
some great
sense.
Ones in season two.
Work into it.
Yeah. So if you really want to see why people love it, I just wouldn't recommend starting on episode one because you'll be like, oh, wait a minute. This show is weird.
Yeah, just super cheesy. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
For sure.
You were plugging.
Yeah, for sure. And now back to me. if you guys like Star Trek, my group, the Fun Fun Boys, and I have a web series that we're trying to get off the ground here. We've written all the episodes, and it's called Final Frontier 2049. Which I think Final Frontier is a Star Trek reference
that
I wasn't aware of when we came up with it, which I will learn because I'm going to watch it, guys. So it's this space-based web series where three civilians were picked by Mr. President himself, who is the President of the United States, to go on a mission to solve space missions, whatever he feels like sending us to do. And actually, Patrick Winniger is going to be one of our characters.
Oh, yeah. I'll be in it, so... y'all have a Kickstarter for that, right?
Yeah, we have a Kickstarter. And that is at www.gofundme.com.
So it's not a Kickstarter, it's a GoFundMe.
Sorry.
I mean, I feel like at this point, it's all...
It's like Kleenex.
It's all Kickstarter, but
it's a generic brand name that... It's a GoFundMe, though.
Yeah, it's like in the South, I call it Coke.
Coke, yeah. Everything is a Coke.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I love Mountain Dew, guys. This is now a plug for Mountain Dew. Everybody go buy
Mountain
Dew.
Mountain Dew is my favorite type of Coke.
Mountain Dew Kickstarter.
So the Kickstarter is at www.gofundme.com/Final Frontier 2049. We're doing pretty well, I think. So if you guys wanna help us out, if you enjoyed listening to my voice, you can see my face in a spacesuit.
Awesome.
And my friends and Patrick. You can also see Patrick. If you've never seen his face, it's great.
As long as it has a beard.
As long as it has a beard. Yeah. Keep listening to Pat Trek. Listen to Politicked Off. That's another show that I have with Zach Mast from Peaches and Hot Sauce. It's like a parody of NPR news shows. Give us a rating if you haven't. Subscribe on iTunes and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Gets more people to listen.
Yeah. Please do all of those things. And, support that web series. I don't care. I'm not in it.
If you give $10, they will draw you a meme personally.
Yeah, we will make you a meme. There's lots of great prizes. One is I forget how much money it is, but if you give enough money, I will do an impression of your choice. Another one is the Fun Fun Boys will commentate on do like a director's commentary on any form of media. It can be a Vine, a YouTube video, the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. We'll do a director's commentary for you.
Blade Runner, director's cut.
We'll do it. Give us money.
How much money would someone have to give if they wanted Pat O'Rourke to be in the web series?
There is one where you can be an extra.
No way.
They could put your name in for them.
Well, you
I
heard
guess.
It here
or
first,
you
folks.
Could give the money, Pat.
Oh, wait, what? No. Me? I give plenty of money.
Let's start to a plenty new of GoFundMe just to raise money for Pat to be able to be an extra in our website.
Oh, that sounds perfect. And while we're doing that, you might as well listen to the Making New Friends podcast. That's a podcast I've been doing for a long time over at peachesandhotsauce.com. It comes out when it comes out, so just be on the lookout for it. Dungeon Rats. That's the other thing I got to plug. Dungeon Rats is a new thing I'm doing over at the One Shot Podcast. Every other Monday, we're doing an interactive dungeon crawl. I'm running the game. Our friend Carlos Luna, who's been on the show several times, is one of the players. And you, the audience, gets to tell us what happens to the party as the game goes on. It's a blast. So we'll be, by the time this comes out, we'll be like one or two episodes into the official launch. So please check out Dungeon Rats over at OneShotPodcast.com.
Ooh, I do have one more thing. If anybody's listening and you're in the Chicago area, Thursday nights at the Crowd Theater, there's a show called Skull Mountain that goes on. It's a comedy variety show that Carlos Luna is on that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
That reminded me that that happens.
Cool.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.